We have adversity. There is an adversary, and he is out to get us. And in the book of Ezra, as soon as they laid the foundation, things begin to happen. And you notice that's the way it is in real life. You know, the devil is pretty content to leave you alone as long as you're not doing anything, as long as you're not trying to change, as long as you're not impacting anybody. He pretty much just leave you alone. He's pretty well got you in his control anyway, if that's the case. But in the book of Ezra, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' houses and said to them, 'Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the days of Irshadon, king of Assyria, who brought us here.' But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' house of Israel said to them, 'You may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us.'" Can we pray right quick? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is alive and powerful, and it's quick, sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides right into the very intents and thoughts of our heart, Lord. And this morning, we ask that you speak to us through your word. Give us ears to hear and a heart to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So, dealing with your adversary. The first thing that you got to deal with is deception and infiltration. And I guess there's notes in your bulletin if you want to follow along. I may or may not go exactly like those notes, but it'll be something like that. So it occurred to me that the children of Israel, they were experiencing some real positive things. You know, they laid the foundation, they were all excited, enthusiastic, and then, as my dad used to say, up jumped the devil, you know, and then some problems started happening. So they had these adversaries. They came to him, and these guys had been there. Matter of fact, if you go back into the first part of Ezra, and we talked about that, that when they set up the altar to begin offering sacrifices and worshiping, it says that they feared the inhabitants of the land. So all this time, and this is not like just a few weeks. This is a period of probably 9 months or a year from the time they began to set up the altar and worship until they laid the foundation. All that time, they knew that the people in the area weren't really all that in favor of what they were doing. But the people probably were assuming they'll get frustrated, they'll get discouraged, they'll give up. Well, when they laid the foundation, they got concerned, and they said, well, now we've got to actively start doing something. And that's the way the devil is. You understand, when you make a commitment to the Lord, he doesn't just say, oh, well, I lost that one, I'll just give up. No. He keeps coming back, trying to distract you and trying to create problems for you. The children of Israel, when they left Egypt, I mean, they were all yee-haw excited, and they got to the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh again. That's the way the devil is. He wants to come back and bring you back into bondage. You know, we've been set free in Jesus, but the devil wants to put you back in bondage. So the children of Israel laid the foundation. It was all going good, and then here these people came along. And that's the way the devil always works. He's only got a handful of tricks. It's the same old stuff he's always done. You go back and look in the garden, you go back and look all throughout history, it's the same stuff over and over again. He just kind of revamps it a little bit for each generation to make it relevant. But it's the same basic stuff. He takes the truth of God's word, twists it a little bit, and makes it something that he can deceive you with. And that's what he said to Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? Is that really what he meant? You know, he even quoted part of what God said, but he twisted it a little bit. And that's what he tries to do. So these guys came along, they said, okay, look, we want to help you build. You know, we've been here all these years, we've been worshiping God just like you have, we've been offering sacrifices, and we just want to help you. Well, I just want you to know that that's one of the key ways the enemy works in your life. He wants to bring deception in, and that causes you then to lose sight of what God is wanting to do in your life. And it happens as individuals, and it happens as a church. And we have to guard against that because he wants to infiltrate your life. There's a lot I could say about all that, but I think I just want to kind of skip through. You can read these verses on your own. But Jesus said there were going to be false Christs and false prophets. They were going to rise up. They were going to show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. So there are going to be things that happen that will be distracting to you, opportunities to be deceived. Paul in Ephesians, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And then he goes on and he lists all that stuff. He said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater, who have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So he goes on, there's other places. I mean, Paul, when he wrote letters back to the churches, he told them all, he warned them. He said, look, there's going to be people who come in to try to deceive you. They're going to come in like ravenous wolves, and they're going to try to deceive you. They're going to try to get you to go back and live under the law. They're going to try to get you to do things that are contrary to the sound doctrine that I've been teaching you. And if you allow that as an individual, you're going to get off track, and you're going to get all tangled up again in the very things that God has delivered you from. And as a group, if you begin to embrace deception, and you begin to accept and compromise the truth of God's word, you're going to get all messed up. I mean, that's what God's saying. He's saying that to protect us so that we don't become entangled and back in bondage again. Now, I want to make this point to you. In John 14:30, Jesus is talking, and he says, I'm not going to talk with you much more, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. And I read those words, and I looked up the Greek words and all that, and I was thinking about it. And basically, it says, not even one thing, not one thing has a hold on me. The Amplified Bible says it this way, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. So the enemy wants to come and bring you back into bondage with deception and with lies and with his tricks. But we need to be like Jesus. We need to not have things in common with the devil. He wants to heal us, and he wants to cleanse us so that we don't have those places that the enemy can attach to. Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. We know what he's going to do. And he was talking about, in context, he was talking about unforgiveness. He said, if you got unforgiveness, you're giving place to the devil. We don't want to give place to the devil. Jesus said, he has no power over me because we have nothing in common. If you don't have anything in common with the devil, he has no power over you. But on the other hand, if you got areas in your life that you got commonness with the devil, then he's got a place. He's got a place. He's going to come. He's going to attach. And he's going to cause you grief. He's going to cause you problems. We call them strongholds. We call them, bondage. You call them, whatever you want to call them. But it's a place where the enemy can impact you and affect you negatively. And I don't want that in my life. I don't want him to have a place where he has power over me in any part of my life. When we come to Jesus and we are born again, all things are made new, but those places in us from our whole life up to that point, All the things that we've experienced, good and bad, every sin we've committed, every sin that's been committed against us, all the things that have hurt us, wounded us, those things, they affect the way that we think. They affect the way that we react. And so what happens then is when you're walking through everyday life and someone comes to you and says something, and if you've got a wound in your heart and mind and soul that was caused by someone who said something like that to you, that's how you're going to respond to that. You're going to respond out of your wound, out of your brokenness. If someone said you were dumb when you were a kid, and then someone, maybe even joking, says, boy, that was a dumb thing, all of a sudden that wound comes back up and you bristle and you bow up. And it's because you have something in you, a place that the enemy can use to attack you. So we need to guard against that. Every day, we need to be asking the Lord to shine his light and to show us those areas where we've got wounds. We got things that need to be healed. There's roots of bitterness in us. There are roots of stubbornness, roots of pride, things in us that are just not right. They are in common with the devil, not in common with what God's purposes are in our lives. And we need to see those things, let God root them out of us. Places where we've been wounded, let God heal those things. So that when, this is what I want to do. Look, every day, when someone says something to me that's maybe hurtful, I don't want to respond out of brokenness. Yeah. I want to respond out of my redeemed nature and say, yeah, man, it's all good. Yeah. I can still love you. I can still receive that as criticism or as just downright cruelty, whatever. I'm okay with that because I'm redeemed in that area. Satan does not have a hold on me in that area of my life anymore because I've been healed. We need to be healed so that we don't allow the enemy to come in and deceive us. We have an opportunity for distractions and hindrances also. Ezra 4:4. So, first thing is the enemy came in and he tried to do it with deception. And by the way, those guys, they weren't really worshiping God like they said they were. They were basically half-breeds and Samaritans. They were all jarbled up. Their genealogies were messed up. They'd intermarried with all the other races. They were idolaters. They were mixing the worship of God with the worship of idols, and they were doing it all, and they were trying to say that we've been doing just like you want to do it. We're all good. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that try to get you to believe stuff other than the truth, and we don't need buying into that. That didn't really work. So then they started in verse 4. The people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in the building. Those believers, we need to keep our focus. We don't want to let the enemy come in and distract us with discouragement. And that's what happens, you know. Man, you get a vision, you get a dream, you're all excited about it, and then boom, you know, something negative happens. It's like, maybe I didn't really hear that right, or maybe... That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to distract you. He wants to bring discouragement, hinder. He wants to stop the work. See, we're called to build. We're called to build ourselves individually. We're supposed to be building ourselves into a habitation for the Lord, a dwelling place for God. We're supposed to be building that. And as a body, we're supposed to be building that. But the enemy wants to come along and discourage you and distract you from that so that you'll give up. He doesn't want us to build. He doesn't want us to be successful. He wants to mess us up. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life abundantly. So as believers, we need to keep our focus on the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Paul was saying, I've been called to be a preacher, an apostle. I'm supposed to do these things, but I've had problems. I've had struggles along the way. There's been opportunities for me to give up. I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked. I've been lost at sea. I've been whipped 39 times, like five times. I mean, the guy had been abused. He could have said, maybe I misheard God a little bit. Maybe I got that wrong. Maybe I was dreaming that up and it wasn't really for me. No. He said, according to his own purpose. God has a purpose for us. And we don't want to give up on his purpose just because someone comes along and whispers something in your ear and tries to distract you. Just because someone comes along and says, ah, you're not going to be able to finish that work that you started. Ah, that's not going to ever work. You're going to be the same old failure you've always been. Hallelujah. We don't have to be the same person that we've always been. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad about that because I was a failure. I was a loser. And sometimes I'm still a failure and a loser, but I don't have to be. That's the good news. There is hope. There's hope that we can be different. There's hope that we can be changed. There's hope that tomorrow is a brighter day. All things are being made new. Hallelujah. So as a body, we have the same opportunity. You know, we have these programs that we start thinking, wow, you know, we're going to really reach these kids, or we're going to do Beach Club, we're going to do this Center of Hope thing, we're going to have a concert, we're going to do, you know, that's all great. But if it doesn't go perfectly, if people don't volunteer, if people don't show up like we want, we can say, oh, well, it's discouraging, I'm not going to do that again. Or we can say, you know, that didn't work out so good, but I'm not going to give up because I believe this is what God has called us to do. I believe God has a purpose. He's called us to this purpose, and we are going to stay the course. It's easy to give up. It's not so easy to stay the course. But in the end, staying the course is where you're going to get the blessing. That's where you're going to see the benefits. And I don't want to be giving up just because there's some difficulties. Because you know what? There are difficulties in life. You might as well just accept that giving your life to Jesus doesn't mean it's going to be a perfect, easy road from there on out. Matter of fact, Jesus kind of said, you know, I pretty much guarantee just the opposite. But his guarantee also is that I'm going to be with you all the way to the very end. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he gave us that promise. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And that's why I'm sending you, because you have all that same power and authority in you to go and do works on my behalf as my delegates. That's the hope. That's the promise. So we can either embrace that and we can move forward even if we get resistance, or we can cowardly give up and say, oh, well, maybe I misunderstood, or maybe that wasn't the right plan. It just didn't work out. Man, just think where we'd all be if Jesus had done that. What if he had come along and said, those people probably won't even respond to me. They probably won't even receive my forgiveness. Why would I want to go and die just for those bunch of losers? That's true. We are a bunch of losers. But we're winners in Christ. Amen? Amen. That's how we win, is when we receive what he's offered. So we have to guard against being distracted, being hindered in the work. In Hebrews it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He was looking beyond the suffering and the pain and all the negative stuff because he saw the benefits. And that's what we need to do. We need to look beyond all of our struggles and all of our problems, and we need to see what God is ultimately wanting to do in our lives, what His purpose is in our life, what His calling is in our life. And He has a calling for each one of us. And I'm not saying it's to be a preacher or a teacher or an evangelist or a missionary, but there is a calling. All of us have a purpose. All of us have a calling. All of us are meant to do something in the kingdom. There is a place for all of us. And we are supposed to be finding that place and being involved in kingdom business. And I appreciated last week, and Steve talked about, just like Miss said earlier, about us being knit together. You know, we all have a place. And when we begin to function and flow that way, we become this strong body, like a muscle man, you know, a bodybuilder. I mean, we become strong in the Lord. We become capable of doing things that you and I as individuals can never do. But as a body, when we're knit together the way that we're meant to be, every part doing its proper function, then we have more strength and more success. So the enemy wants to deceive us with lies. He wants to hinder us with discouragement, distraction. He also, I like this word, diabolical. He's got diabolical schemes. You know, he's out to get us. He's trying to trick us. You understand that the devil is pretty sneaky. Matter of fact, in the garden, that's what the Bible says. He was more subtle or more sneaky than any other creature, the serpent. So, in verse 5, it says that the adversaries hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of King Cyrus of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So the devil, he wants to enforce his schemes on us, and he wants to deceive us, trick us, and distract us so that we can't accomplish the things that God has called us to do. John 2, Jesus said, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And he didn't have a need that anyone should testify of men, for he knew what was in man. Jesus understood that the devil works in people sometimes with his schemes in the background to try to distract you and try to hinder you, to try to discourage you. You know, people are people, and they will say and do things that are hurtful to you sometimes. They'll say and do things that discourage you. And some of your very best friends and supporters sometimes will just say something right out there and just like kick you in the shin. You know, it's like, ow, that hurt. What'd you say that to me for? And the ones that we love the most sometimes are the ones that seem to hurt us the most. Unfortunately, it's because we have great expectations of those that we know and love. And so when they say anything that's a little bit negative or a little bit hurtful, it's like, oh, man, that hurts. Ouch. It happens to all of us. If you're married, believe me, it's happened to you and it's going to happen to you. If you got a good friend, they're probably going to hurt you like that. If you got a pastor, he's probably going to hurt you like that. If you know another human being, they're probably going to hurt you like that, because that's what people do. We say and do things sometimes totally innocently, and yet they can be very hurtful and discouraging. And then there's other people that are just downright cruel and mean, and they do it intentionally. Why, you're nothing but you sorry, no good, you know, and they just go on and on talking bad about you. You can either embrace what they're saying, or you can say, wait a minute, whoa, 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 I understand what's going on here. The enemy is using this person, trying to discourage me, trying to distract me, trying to cause me to respond, trying to cause me to respond out of my flesh so that then the enemy will have a reason to accuse me. It's all a big part of the plot. You know, there's a scheme going on all the time. The enemy is trying to get us to mess up so that he can discourage us. Acts 13, there's an interesting story here. Says, this is Paul and Barnabas. When they'd gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul, and he sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So you see what's going on. I mean, you got one guy he's ready to receive and respond, but then you got this other guy who's discouraging him. Oh, don't listen to him. He's not, you know, you don't need to listen to that. They're just a bunch of nonsense. You know, sounds like college professors nowadays. You don't want to be believing in all that. That's a bunch of hocus pocus stuff. You know, we believe in science. We believe in history. We believe in information and in technology. All that other stuff, that's a bunch of gobbledygook. They got a great explanation of how the world was created, don't they? Some little crawled out of a something or other, and then we got all this. You know, wow, that's a great explanation. That sounds like science to me. It takes more faith to believe in that gobbledygook than it does to believe in a creator. So Paul, when this guy was standing him, says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked intently at him and said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you're going to be blind. You're not going to see the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking for someone to lead him by the hand. The proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. God has a plan. He's got a plan, and he has a purpose, and he wants to use us to accomplish things. But the enemy doesn't want us to accomplish those things. And so the enemy is going to try to lie to you, try to trick you, try to bring people into your life that will discourage you and distract you. He's going to try to hinder you from doing the purposes that God has called you to. And the enemy wants to bring destructive accusations and judgments against you. Ezra 4:6, in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. If you read on down there, they actually have the letter there, and it says, "Oh, king, you know, we're just watching out for your good here, but you got these guys, they're trying to rebuild this evil and rebellious city, and they're restoring its walls," which is a lie. They hadn't even built the temple yet. They hadn't even begun work on the walls. And they said, "We're telling you only because we care about you. Only because we care about you, but we're telling you all this good stuff because this is going to be a bad thing if they build this city and its walls. Oh, they're never going to pay taxes to you anymore. They're going to be rebels, and you're going to lose control of everything on this side of the river." And lo and behold, the king listened to him. He went back and he did a search. He said, "Well, you know, that city was a powerful city, and they did have kings that rebelled." And so he told them to stop the work. So the enemy wants to discourage and distract you. And I'm of the opinion that the children of Israel, when they were in this process, they were already kind of discouraged. They were already about half ready to give up anyway. And when this letter was sent and the king responded, you know, they didn't write another letter back. They didn't argue about it. They just said, "Okay, we quit. Worship team, y'all can come on back." So the enemy wants to discourage us. He wants to frustrate all the purposes that God has in our lives. It's the very same thing he did in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden, they had everything lined out. They had God's plan and purpose going on. He had given them dominion over the entire earth. And the devil came along and lied to them, deceived them, and tricked them, and usurped the authority and the dominion from them. And that's the exact same thing he's trying to do to us today. When Jesus died on the cross, he ended Satan's dominion over us. The only dominion he has over us now is what we give him, is what we allow him to have. He is a defeated foe. We read that earlier. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ, that we are more than conquerors than him. That's what that means. We have been made to be more than conquerors. We are not defeated. He is defeated. But he still uses those same tactics. He lies to us. He brings deception into our life. He distracts us with things that glitter, shiny things that distract us away from the purpose. You know, we need to have these blinders on, like horses. You know, they wear those blinders so that they can't see all the stuff going on to the side. They just look straight ahead. That's what we need. We need spiritual blinders so that we are seeing the purpose that God has called us to. And we're not distracted to the right or the left, because when we get distracted, we get off course. We get off course, we're not fulfilling the purpose that God has for us. The enemy wants to discourage us. He's got all these schemes working in the background. He's always got things going. You know, he's trying to infiltrate us. He's trying to have things in common with us so we have a place that he can attach to our lives and keep coming back, and keep coming back, and keep affecting us in negative ways. The enemy wants to get us to just stop building. God is saying, rise and build. Build a dwelling place for me. That's in each one of us. And the enemy is trying to discourage us from that. Our choice. We're going to rise and build, or we're going to say, okay, I give. Joshua said it this way, for me and my house, we're making the choice. We're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to give in to all this other stuff. We're going to choose life. We're going to choose God's way, and we're going to go forward. We're going to rise and build. We are not going to just give in. We're not going to allow the enemy to distract us. You have to choose what voice are you going to listen to. Adam and Eve had a choice. The serpent came along. He was sneaky. And he had a voice. They listened to his voice. But they had God's voice too. They had heard God's voice. They chose the wrong voice. And every day we choose. We're going to listen to the right things. We're going to listen to the wrong things. We're going to react out of our flesh, or we're going to react out of our spirit. If we walk in the spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you get in your flesh, then you're going to just fall right back into that same old stuff where you're responding to somebody with meanness instead of love. You're responding to somebody with impatience instead of patience. You're responding to somebody being judgmental and critical and hateful instead of being merciful and compassionate. I can talk about this stuff because I've done it. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm a pretty good guy, generally speaking. But, you know, if I'm not careful, I'll fall right back into those same habits. I'll respond the same old way. I have to guard against that. The enemy wants to distract us. And he wants to keep us from fulfilling the purpose that God has called us to. So, Lord, this morning, I pray that you help us to see the truth of your word, Lord, that you have a plan, and it's a good plan, Lord, and you will fulfill your good word and perform it in our lives. Our part is to say yes to you. So, Lord, this morning, help us to say yes. Help us to reject the lies of the enemy. Help us to see the schemes that he's laying down and the way that he's trying to infiltrate our lives with those subtle things that can distract us and discourage us. We don't want to be discouraged. We want to hear you clearly and follow you. And Lord, help us to keep our focus on you this morning. It'll help us, Lord God, to not give in, to not be discouraged and not stop, but help us to rise and build a dwelling place for you in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, let's stand and worship. Your life away, you
gave up everything so we can have everything. There's nothing without you. Nothing could be. Gave up your glory to live life like me. The world turned away. They just wouldn't see that God had drawn me and true love appeared. Set us so free. I'll give you everything. My life without you is no life at all. A futile existence with no place to fall. But you opened my eyes, and now I can see. Spirit came in, broke the power of sin, and set my heart free.
Yes, hallelujah.
I'll give you everything.
I'll give you everything.
Cause you gave me everything when you bled and died. Gave up everything, Lord Jesus. You came to give your life away. You gave up everything so we can have everything. You gave up everything, Lord Jesus. You came to give your life away. You gave can have everything.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In Revelation 12, it says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a voice, a loud voice, saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren, who has accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. That's who the devil is. He is the accuser of the brethren. It's what he does. He accuses us before God. He accuses you.
Yes, he does.
He says you're a failure. You're a loser. You're a sinner. You're never going to change. But God says something different about
Amen.
You.
Hallelujah.
You don't want to listen to the accuser of the brethren. Right. You want to listen to what God says. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect and establish, strengthen and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. I want you to know, the enemy accuses you, and he's running around like a roaring lion trying to devour you, but he hasn't got any power over
Amen.
You except
Amen.
What you allow him to have. It's like he's a toothless lion. He can roar and make a lot of noise, but he really can't hurt you unless you let him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us a way to know you and to walk with you, a way to experience all of your goodness and glory. And Lord, help us to hear your voice clearly. Help us not to listen and be afraid of the roar, but help us to hear the roar of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Lord, that you have overcome the world, that you are the Christ, and there is no power that can resist you. There is nothing that can separate us from your love, that we are more than conquerors in you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We want to hear your voice
and
respond to you, Lord.
Yes.
Yours is the voice that we're tuning into. We will respond to you. We reject the lies of the enemy.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have made a way.
Yes, you have.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Only a God.
Hallelujah. If you need prayer, the altars are open. Someone will meet you and pray with you. If you don't know Jesus, today is a day that you can meet him. You come right now and you can pray and invite him to come and experience all that we've been talking about this morning, that he wants to be your Lord and Savior. He wants to walk with you every moment of every day. If you don't know Jesus, come and meet him today. If you need prayer for anything else, come. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his perfect peace. Go and be blessed. If you want to participate in the training, the LIT conference, that'll be happening here in about 20 minutes or so. We can get over there and have lunch. Otherwise, fellowship, enjoy one another. Go and be blessed. Thanks for everything. In Jesus' name, go. Amen.